Let's remain standing tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Kind of a short song service, but I think we'll do much by singing on. I appreciate you being here on midweek Tuesday night service, and I appreciate the privilege of trying to preach. I hope the Lord will help us somewhat. If you don't, we're really in a pickle. I've been trying to get lined out on preaching through the book of 1 Peter, and that's where I'd like for you to turn tonight, if you don't mind, is 1 Peter and chapter number 1. 1 Peter and chapter number 1. I want to read the first 5 verses tonight and then bring the message the Lord's laid on our heart for this evening. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture. I'll try to bring what God's laid on my heart and tonight and try to be as brief as I can. I don't want to drag things out. If we're into the preaching a little bit, well, we'll try. And if not, well, we'll just take the notes down and head to the house. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being in God's house tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've sang. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that is before us. And Father, you said thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You said that we ought to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee. You said it's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, that it's more valuable than gold, yea, than much fine gold. There's many things, Lord, said about the word of God. And I pray you'll take thy word tonight and make it alive. Quicken it, I pray, to our hearts and to our hearing. And Lord, quicken it tonight to thy servant. May the Spirit of God bless me tonight and make me a blessing to this people. I pray that you'll fill me with the Spirit of God, that you'll empower me by the Holy Ghost, and grant me liberty tonight to preach what you've laid on my heart. I need your divine help, and so do the people. Give them ears to hear and hearts to understand, and save such as be lost tonight. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 4 tonight. It's where I want to begin in our study. And the Bible said there, I'll read it again for the sake of reading it. Brother Peter said that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. And he says that that inheritance is reserved in heaven. Notice this now, for you. Second person pronoun, reserved in heaven for you. And I want to preach for a little while tonight. If God will help me, I don't have much of an outline, but I won't try to preach what I got. And preach for a little while on the thought of our eternal inheritance. Our eternal inheritance. Peter said that we have an inheritance. Not might have, we do have an inheritance. And that inheritance is incorruptible. It's not like an earthly inheritance. It's undefiled and has no chance of ever being that way. It fadeth not away. It's not like something you inherit upon the earth that eventually loses its beauty and its luster. This inheritance fadeth not away. And I'm telling you, here is a capstone of that verse where the Bible said that it is reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you can get a hold of that in reality tonight, it ought to make you rejoice. If you can't rejoice outwardly, it ought to make your heart jump up and down just a little bit if you're saved, to know that there is an inheritance and there's no danger of it never being there. Peter said that it is reserved in heaven for you. That's right. The Lord Jesus has made the reservations. He's paid for it. And it's there and reserved in heaven for you. Now, as we look at this verse tonight, I want us to keep in mind that Peter is writing to do his best to comfort and encourage these believers during a time of suffering and persecution. As we get through the end of the book of 1 Peter, you'll find that it is a book of suffering. And it's just as an update for you and I today as it was when Peter wrote it, somewhere around 90 A.D. or somewhere during that time. Peter sat down and by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he penned this little book called 1 Peter. But it's just as up to date for you and I today as it was for those that he wrote it to. Because there is much suffering going on in the lives of people today. I never thought of this until I sat down a while ago. But I'm sure that much of the suffering that they encountered was from an outward source. That it came to them outwardly and upon them in their physical body. But the suffering that we're experiencing today in God's people is an inward type suffering. It is a spiritual affliction. It is a heartfelt affliction within us that is causing us to lose our joy and to lose the power of God in our life and the very joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is draining, it is pulling away, tugging away at our hearts and our spirits, and is depriving us of great things and great blessings from the hand of God. I learned this a long time ago, that persecution from without will bring people together. Persecution from within will drive them apart. And I'll tell you, we better learn that tonight. If we learn nothing else out of this lesson, we better learn that tonight, that there is an inward suffering taking place through persecution, and I believe it is a spiritual persecution and an onslaught from the devil himself, and the Antichrist is behind it all. That's why I want to preach a series on the Antichrist. If you think that he's not at work in the world today, friend, you are naive and you have misunderstood the Word of God. He is alive, well, and able today, and his influence is being seen more and more all the time throughout this world. As I said earlier, there are many antichrists that have already gone out into the world, and they're active, ladies and gentlemen, and they're doing all they can to deprive, to rob, to steal, to kill, and destroy the spirit of the people of God. So keep that in mind. He's writing to encourage them. And I hope that when we get into the study, that the Lord will help me to encourage you. Somebody said, preacher, we don't need encouragement. My Lord, I'd like to put a movie camera on you for a little while tonight and do a little rerun, a few replays, and let you take a look at yourself. And I believe you'd change your tune and your attitude about that real quick. It don't appear that there's much joy and much happiness in the people of God today. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Now, these people were primarily Jews. And being so, they possibly felt as though their earthly inheritance had been lost. Now get a hold of this. for years, for a number of years, their inheritance, which is the land of Canaan, had been occupied and controlled by pagan monarchs. And they may have gotten the idea that their earthly inheritance had been totally lost. They had not read the last chapter in the Bible yet. It is going to be restored to them. You can just write that down, ladies and gentlemen. Israel has an earthly inheritance that's came down to them from Abraham through the ages, and they're going to inherit that some glorious day by the good grace of God, and will live there for 1,000 years in peace and tranquility in that earthly inheritance. And they may have been suffering inwardly, thinking that they had lost that earthly inheritance that God had promised them. In fact, they may have even lost some of their faith in God, wondering why God promised them at the hand of Moses the land of Canaan, and yet the pagan monarchs had come upon them and were occupying and controlling the very land that God had given unto them. Now listen carefully. In these verses, Peter assures them that they have obtained a future inheritance much more glorious than anything that them or their forefathers had ever seen. Friend, when they got into the land of Canaan, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. I've said this a number of times. There were grapes there big enough to suck the goody out of them with a straw and use the peelings for a shower cap. There were pomegranates. There was milk. There was honey. It was a land of plenty. The ground was fertile. The soil was fertile. Every man had his own vine. Every man had his own fig. And it is indeed a wonderful place. But Brother Peter tells them, there is another inheritance that is coming to you that is far more glorious than anything that your eyes have ever beheld. Now I'm going to tell you something. I have lived 60 years in America, in the world. And I've seen some sights that many people have not been fortunate enough to see. I stood in a little town called Spitz, Switzerland, and looked out over one of the most beautiful lakes with mountains on both sides that I'd ever seen in all of my life. I rode a train through the Swiss Alps. Now, I'll tell you, those snow-covered mountains were some of the most spectacular views that I'd ever seen in all of my life. My eyes have beheld the Grand Canyon. Some say it's just a hole in the ground, but to me it is a marvel of the handiwork of God. I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of things in my life. I've crossed both oceans, ladies and gentlemen, and been on several continents and seen several countries, been in several states in America. But I tell you, my eyes have never laid my eyes on anything as beautiful and as glorious as what the eternal inheritance that God has promised to them that love Him. I'll tell you, we're going to a beautiful place, and we're going to behold the very glory of God in that place for all time and all eternity. Hallelujah to God, and hallelujah, amen. Amen. That's right. You need to get a hold of that. Now, follow me right on. If you can, please. Let me find it. It was and is our eternal inheritance. This inheritance should be held in high esteem by each of us. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall, if Naboth felt that a vineyard that he inherited was worth his very life, how much more value should you and I put on our heavenly inheritance, our eternal inheritance, that God has promised to them that love Him? I'm going to be honest. I really believe in Baptists today, there's very little value put on the fact that we're saved by the grace of God and we're going to heaven. I don't know whether we really value the salvation that Christ has provided for us the way we ought to or not. I read through chapter 1, and I'll read some of the verses here in a minute, of Ephesians today, and over Paul said, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory. Now I'm telling you, we're going to a place where we are going to praise His glory. You may not praise it here. You may live with a pooch mouth and downcast life for the rest of your life. But I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm going to a place where I am going to praise His glory. Amen. You better believe that's right. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to put a little bit more value on that eternal inheritance. It is an inheritance that is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It fadeth not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. You don't have to worry about somebody possessing your inheritance when you get there. It's got your name written on it. Miss Hall and I, several months ago, I had to go to the doctor down in Nashville. And I had an appointment at 6 o'clock in the morning, if you can get a hold of that, on a Saturday morning of all things. 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. I told Miss Hall, I said, let's just go down there and spend the night. And we won't have to worry about getting up so early, quite so early in the morning. So we went around and stopped right at that Comfort Inn as you're going in to Nashville, right on 65 there on the right. And told the fellow we wanted a room, and he fixed us up the room, give us the cards, the keys, the little slide cards, you know. And we took what few little clothes we had, headed up that elevator. I popped that card in the door, pulled her up, green light come on, shoved the doorknob down, walked in, and to my surprise, somebody was already living in there. I said, whoa, wrong place, baby. But I'm going to tell you, when we get to glory, and you get your mansion, you're not going to have to worry about finding a stranger living in your quarters. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, it is reserved in heaven for you. It's got your name written on it. Praise God. Now I'm telling you, God makes no mistakes. And we ought to rejoice over the fact that God has given us an eternal inheritance in the saints in light, is what Paul said in Colossians. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, stay right with me. I want to very briefly look, if I can, these four little statements, and then I'll just mention a couple of things about our inheritance, and we'll be done. But notice he says to an inheritance that is incorruptible. That is, it cannot be tarnished in any way. It's incorruptible. Our body is corruptible, but it's going to be raised in incorruption. And our inheritance is incorruptible. There is no way that it can ever have the slightest bit of decay or the slightest soil upon it. It is forever incorruptible. And guess what? It finds its power to be that way in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. Somebody said, how'd we get that? By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, we come to church on Sunday mornings and we ought to come to worship Him. Amen, we're here because of the power that is invested in the Son of God. He had power to lay His life down. He had power to take it up again. And our inheritance depends totally on the fact that Christ got up out of the grave. Our Lord, can somebody help me? Hallelujah. Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. That it provides for us that inheritance that is incorruptible has an endless rejuvenation. Now that may not do nothing for you, but it is rejuvenated not every other day, not once a month, not once a year, but that rejuvenation is like Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:16 about the life that you and I have. He said, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. There we have a constant rejuvenation of life. That's why you cannot lose your salvation, church. Your outward man is corruptible, and it's perishing, and it's fading away. But thank God there's a new creation on the inside that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that shall never fade away. We might lay this old body down in the grave someday, but hallelujah, when we lay the body down, we'll take a flight to glory land, hallelujah to God, where Jesus is, and dwell forever in the presence of God in the glory world in a rejuvenated body that shall never find corruption. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Some of you could care less, I believe. From the way you act, I don't know whether you care or not. But I guarantee you will someday. When you either stand at the white throne judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, you'll care. That's right. When you look in the face of the blessed Son of God and He asks you why you walked around all your life with the pooge mouth and the down and out, and you start handing Him some little old frivol excuse, He's not going to take it. Hey, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Some of you need to get your eyes off the world and off present tense onto eternal things. That's what God, Peter's trying to do. He's trying to get their mind off of the present tense things into the future things, where their inheritance is, where their real joy is at, where their real blessing lies in heaven itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, notice, he said it's to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Undefiled. That is that it is inherently and essentially pure. There's nothing, there's no impurities there, ladies and gentlemen. None whatsoever. Do you realize that sorrow is an impurity to God in heaven? That's right. Somebody said, oh, we sorrow, but not as others which have no hope. There's a big difference in it. There's a worldly sorrow that don't amount to a flip. There's also a heavenly sorrow that's good in the eyes of God. But we sorrow as others which have no hope. And our inheritance is undefiled. It's inherently and essentially pure. It's like an evergreen. It's always fruitful. It's always beautiful. And nothing can enter that would defile it. Not one thing. They'll never, hey, can you get hold of this? How many times a week you ladies clean your house, and the next day you walk through and you say, my Lord, I just dusted that table yesterday, and look at that thing. It's full of dust all over again. Well, I just swept this floor an hour ago, and it's already got some clutter around on it. You'll never have to worry about that in heaven. I'm telling you, our eternal inheritance will not have one speck of dust. That's how pure it'll be. Undefiled. Hey, you know why? To me, God just give me this. Hallelujah. Might need to get down here. Might want to shout on this. And you know why? You know why it's undefiled? There will be nothing temporal Not one temporal thing will ever enter into that city, ladies and gentlemen. It'll all be eternal things, and everything that is eternal is undefiled and pure because it's been made white by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I got Miss Hall grinning a little bit. Praise God, I got a little smile on her face. Stay right with me. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of the earth shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall never be shut at all by day. For there shall never be no night there. And they shall bring their honor and glory of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. In no wise anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's all that's going to be there, folks. Those that are names that are written in the Lamb's book of life. There will be nothing there that is an abomination. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It do you all well to check your Bibles on what things are considered abominations in the Bible. I'm going to run one of them by you right quick. The Bible said, now don't get mad at me, but Jesus said, if you marry a woman and divorce her, you've committed adultery. But it goes on to say, if you marry a woman, divorce her, and you marry another woman, divorce her, and go back and marry this woman, you have committed an abomination. Check her out in the book of Deuteronomy, buddy. She's there. Hallelujah. And it says not one thing that worketh an abomination will be there. Come on in the house now, ladies and gentlemen. What about these pant-wearing girls that the Bible said in Deuteronomy 22:5 that it's an abomination for a woman to put on that which pertains to a man, and it's an abomination for a man to put on that which pertains to a woman, and we've got these stinking sodomites running around all the country and point of view in other places talking about getting them saved. I'm telling you, the Bible said that nothing that worketh abomination shall be there. Nor anything that worketh a lie or telleth a lie. Ain't going to be no liars up there. Buddy, I'll tell you, hey, can I say this? It pays to tell the truth even if it hurts. You better believe it. Even if it hurts, you better tell the truth. Because I'm telling you, there'll be no liars. Chapter 20 of Revelation, I think verse 8 or 10:1. Proves that there will be no liars in that eternal inheritance that God has reserved for you and I. Amen. People today, they don't mind telling lies. Them lying, thinking a bunch of politicians down in Washington. All of them are a bunch of liars. I don't give a flip what title they have. They're a liar, but all of them are. This for sure that Walmart is. We've done proved that by the handbook. They wouldn't admit it. Are y'all listening to me? There's nobody going in there but they whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you saved? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been born again? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been redeemed by grace? If you've not, you ain't going in. You know why? You're defiled. By sin. Come on in the house now. Hallelujah. We'll have a good time. Find out where I'm at. He said, and that fadeth not away. It's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not, I put its left. Whew. I'm glad I recognize that. Its leaf shall not wither. No autumn winds will strip the trees of their foliage, and no winter blast will rob the fields of their virtue. Nothing and no one will ever grow old nor waste away. You get a hold of that? If it was possible to grow old or waste away, praise God, there'd be something in there that would defile it. But if it wastes away and grows old, it means it's going to die. And death is a defilement. Better believe it is. The Jews couldn't even touch a dead body. You know why? It's defiled. There'll be no death up there. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. Are you saved tonight, boys? I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you better get saved. Amen. Ladies, what about it? No death up there. Nobody going to die in heaven. They do it, defile that place, but there'll be no death, no more sorrow, no more tears. Hallelujah to God. What a wonderful place we're going to. No sun, no moon. The Jesus will be the light of that place. They won't even be a temple. Jesus will be the temple of the whole place. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Somebody said, how's that going to work? I don't know, but I know I'm in Him right now. Don't ask me how. He's a big God, son. We're all saved or in Him. Already in Him. That's right. Now, I can't explain that, but I believe it. Everybody listening? Then He said, it's reserved in heaven for you. Jesus said in John 14:1, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I... It is personal, it's preserved, and it's protected. And no power can cancel that reservation. What about that? Thanks be unto God. Amen. Now I want to bring the message, and I've only got three little points. And take my word for it, we ain't even been here an hour yet, so don't get shook up. I want to say, number one, It's a fatherly inheritance. It is of the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that lays up for the children? It's the Father. We've got a Father that's laying up an eternal inheritance for us. I'm glad, thank God, that I am His child. And God is my Father. Somebody said, preacher, do you have any scripture for that? Yeah, I believe so. It's provided for. It's a fatherly inheritance, and it's provided for His children. 2 Corinthians 12:14 said, behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome unto you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now, I understand what Paul's saying there. Paul's saying, I'm coming to you as an elder, and then you ought to be laying up things for me. I need to bring spiritual things to you. I understand that. But the application is that the parents, our heavenly parents, have laid up an eternal inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us, and it's there because God provides for His children. By the way, we ought to provide for ours. Somebody say amen right there. If God said that a man that won't provide for his own denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God said that because He provides for His youngins. And He's laying up. Look here. He's daily, come on now, look at me. He's daily loading us down with benefits here, but He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ, up yonder. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, son. I need the help out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God's perfected praise. Amen. We ought to be on shouting ground. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He said, I go to prepare a place, and eye hath not seen the things, nor the ear heard of the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. I'm telling you, we got an inheritance. It's a wonderful place, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hallelujah. They won't have to worry You ladies won't have to worry about going outside the home and fear somebody mugging you and molesting you up there. You don't have to worry about that. Won't it be wonderful? You can step outside your mansion and you don't have to worry about somebody robbing you. You don't have to worry about being attacked. That's right. Amen to God. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about having a racial war up there. We don't have to worry about having an atomic war up there. We won't have to study war anymore. We don't have to worry about filth and nasty. It'll be clean and spotless and incorruptible and undefiled. Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you, our eyes have not seen the thing. And like I said earlier, I've seen a lot of things in the world. I sat and beheld the white cliffs of Dover, and they were splendorous before my eyes. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But my eye has not seen yet what God has prepared for me over on the other side. And Peter's trying to encourage them people. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Things may be rough, and I'll admit things are not what I would like to see them in the church, and probably not like you'd like to see them in the home, and they're certainly not what we want to see in the world. I mean, there's all kind of mess. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to encourage you to get your eyes off of the present tense into the future and what God has laid up for us over on the other side. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the sufferings, Paul said of this time, cannot be compared with the glory that God has for them that love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say, secondly, not only is it provided, this father inheritance is provided for his children, but it's preserved for his children. He said, reserved in heaven. I want you to turn. I want to read this. It's a lengthy passage. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Turn in your Bibles there. It's a lengthy passage I want to read. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, what? Eternal. In the heavens. Now, I want everybody to look right up here at me and try to get it. I don't know if I can get a hold of this or not. The earthly house of this tabernacle Paul is talking about is this body. And he said, if it is dissolved, we know that we have a house not made by hands, but made by God. And it's eternal in the heavens. Anybody want to tell me what the word eternal means? Huh? No beginning and no ending. That's why God, and you can call me whatever you want to call me, that's why it can be reserved. That inheritance is already there. Eternal. I'm telling you, God has already prepared a house for you. On the other side, it's eternal. It's not a matter of when He's going to do it. It's a done deal. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You get a hold of that. Praise God, I'm telling you, we got a house that is eternal in the heavens. Now, I didn't write that. If you got any argument about it, see, God, don't come to me about it. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Are you groaning to be clothed with it? Are you trying to hang on to this filthy, nasty thing that's deteriorating and rotting away? You'd be surprised. And I'm telling you, we're all in the flesh. Come on now. And we have, every one of us in here tonight, including Brother Hall, we have got that desire that we want to hang on to this old frail tabernacle of clay just as long as we can. And we certainly know we just don't want to turn loose of it. But Paul said, ought to be the other way around. Paul said, for that house that's eternal in the heavens, said, we ought to desire to be clothed upon with it. And we ought to groan within our
ourselves. There ought to be a desire to go on and be with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Hall told me about that lady that's down in Tennessee that was here one year for our mother-daughter banquet, I believe. They found out she's got breast cancer. When they done an x-ray, they found out she's got a lump in her lungs. Young woman. I'm telling you, her body is deteriorating. But if she's truly born again, I don't have no reason to doubt that she's not. Praise God, there is a house. Eternal. Amen. Not made by hands. If human hands touched it, it's polluted. But it's built by God. Amen, amen. And we ought to be groaning within ourselves to get on to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, well, I don't want to go on this load. Praise God, I'm ready to go on any load He wants me to go on. Amen. Heaven's a wonderful place. Beautiful place. And our inheritance is there. It's not here. Men work all their lives and lay up all their lives and die and leave their stuff to their children. And they leave it and they fight like cats and dogs over who's going to get this and who's going to get that. Won't be no fighting over there. It's all reserved in your name and my name and your name and their name. It's reserved for you. Nobody's going to be up there fighting over that inheritance. I'm going to tell you, they will down here. Yes, sir. I've seen it too many times, friend. I'm telling you, anybody got a little bit of money? People fight like cats and dogs. They'll split families or divide because of a few stinking dollar bills. I made up my mind, and I'm going to say this. I made up my mind that if Sith does by any chance, which she's not going to, but if she would by any chance, go before I go, I'm selling it all. Giving it to my three kids equally. I'm selling all. I said, where will you live? There's apartments. I don't need much. Praise God, I've got something on the other side. I'm not worried about what I've got down here. Amen. I'll give them kids what they want out of that house and what they don't want. I'll sell the rest of it and divide her three ways and say, there she is. I'm out of here. And I'll go somewhere and pine myself away until I die and go on and be with sis. Amen. That's right. I'm not worried about a thing down here. Don't need a thing down here. Somebody, I was at the nursing home. At the nursing home with my daddy one day. And somebody had accidentally rung that little old light and the nurse came walking in there. He said, Mr. Hall, is there something you need? He said, just a 6-foot hole in the ground. That woman looked at him like he is a fool. I don't need much, just a 6-foot hole in the ground. That's about all. And don't really need that. It don't matter where this body goes. It's corruptible. You can put it in the best vault and casket and seal her tight is all you want to do. And I'll guarantee you some way, your skin worms. You have got skin worms in your body. Your body is corruptible within itself without anything from the outside. And I'll guarantee you, seal her tight and she'll still rot. Got something better on the other side. Somebody said, well, you know, sis, when you get over there, I'd hate to think that I'd know less when I'm perfect than I do when I'm like I am right now. Amen. There may come a day now when I won't know her. I hope not. I hope my mind don't get that way. That's right. Now listen carefully. It's purified for His children. It's incorruptible and undefiled. Listen to what it said in Revelation 24:14-15. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, I wonder why they put that there. What do you think a dog is in a Bible? The Lord talked about when he was on the cross being compassed about with dogs. A dog is an abominable thing to God. And without our dogs, and I'm not so sure, don't stone me to death, I'm not so sure they're not talking about sodomites. Now, I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it, so don't try. For without her dogs and sorcerers, we know what sorcerers are. It comes from the word apothecary, they're dopers. And there's whoremongers out there, and there's idolaters out there. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lies out there. There's only one person I know that can love and make a lie, and that's the devil. Now, I don't have any proof of this. I've heard all my life that hell is in the heart of the earth. But if all that is going to be outside the gate of heaven, heaven is not going to be in the heart of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if it could be such a thing that hell could be just outside the gate of the city. I don't know that. But I'm telling you, there's going to be dogs outside the gate, and there's going to be sorcerers outside the gate, and there's going to be idolaters outside the gate, and there's going to be all him that loveth and maketh a lie outside the gate. And that's certainly talking about the New Jerusalem, that pure city. Somebody said, well, I don't believe all that. It's time somebody started interpreting the Word of God right. I didn't get that out of a book either. Amen. Now, not only is it a fatherly inheritance, it's a family inheritance. And I'll try to hurry through this. He said it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. And I say it's family because it's purchased by the death of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 10:11, stay with me just a few more minutes, I'm about done. That in the dispensation, now I have never seen this before, in the dispensation of the fullness of times. That's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. What do you think that's talking about? The fullness of times. I believe he's talking about when time will be no more. The fullness of times, when time has run its course. Come on now, don't worry about them young ones, look at me. In the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In whom? Who is whom? In whom? It's Christ. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Praise God, thank God. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that our inheritance has been purchased. It's been bought. It's been paid for. And the blood was good 2,000 years ago. The blood's good today. Hallelujah to God. We have been bought with a price. We're not even our own. Thank God that our possession is purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. He said, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not only is it purchased by the death of Christ, but it's promised and secured by the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye heard, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Now, I want to back up for a minute. We've not been sealed, and I don't want like to play on little old words. But we've not been sealed by the Spirit of God. Sealed with the Spirit of God. Now that tells me and him both on the inside. Come on now. Me and him both is on the inside. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. It's all paid for. But He is our pledge. He is our down payment. About in here, we buy a home. You go to the bank and they say, would you like to put down some earnest money? That earnest money guarantees you that that house will not be sold to anybody else but you. I'm telling you, when God gave you the Holy Spirit, that was your pledge. The earnest of your pledge until the redemption of the person. That tells me that that seal, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until. That tells me that that seal is going to hold, folks. I don't care what the Methodists, the Pentecostals, and that crowd says. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a Baptist. Buddy, I'm telling you, there ain't a power in heaven or hell, God, able to break the seal. There's going to be 144,000 with the seal of God in their foreheads in the tribulation period, buddy. That marks them. They belong to God. Can I just give you this. For a little information. In the Old Testament, circumcision was a seal and a sign that you belong to God. In this dispensation, the Holy Ghost dwelling in you is a seal and a sign that you're God. In the tribulation period, amen, that seal is God in your forehead will be a seal that you are God's and belong to God. Different seals, different dispensations. Nobody's going to break that seal either, friend. Amen, friend. I would do my job, but my shoulders is fouled up bad. Now, stay right with me. He said the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what that word promise means? It means a divine assurance of God. So we've got a divine assurance from God that we have inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. I'm just about done. Now, there's not only purchased, this family inheritance was purchased by the death of Christ, promised by and secured by the Holy Spirit, but it's praised by the family. Verse 14 in Ephesians 1, it says, under the praise of His glory. Now, I wonder why we ain't praising God anymore. Folks, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason. I'm not talking about climbing the walls. I'm talking about coming to church ready to meet God. And ready to do business with Him and let God work in our hearts where He wants to. How He wants to. Do what He wants to. That inheritance is under the praise of His glory. I'm closing right here. It's a future inheritance. It is reserved in heaven for us. And some of you, I'm going to lose some of you right here. In this future inheritance, the purpose of God is fulfilled. For He said in Ephesians 1:11, being predestinated
according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know what God's purpose is? You know what it always has been? God's purpose always has been to redeem a people that loved Him, that He could fellowship with for all eternity. God's purpose, sovereign purpose, has been to dwell among men. He did with Adam until Adam sinned. He did with Israel through the Shekinah glory tabernacle. He did in the days of Christ through the ministry of Christ. Now after Christ through the Holy Spirit. And one day, faith will be sight. And we'll dwell with Him. I'm telling you that in this future inheritance, God's purpose is totally fulfilled. It's the consummation of the ages. And I'm telling you on the authority of that book, I just talked to Brother Nolan today, and we agree God's getting ready to wrap this thing up for Him. I wouldn't be left. When the trumpet sounds, I certainly wouldn't be left behind. I'd be right with God. I wouldn't be left behind, and I'd be right with God. Thoroughly right in my heart with God. Wouldn't be one thing between me and my Lord. Nothing between me and Him. Let's stand together.